Audio on demand, podcast, streaming live. Calgary's only 24/7 all sports radio. Sportsnet.ca/960. One hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The big question around these parts right now is, when are the Calgary Flames going to hire their new head coach? Well, the answer to that question is most likely tomorrow. It's what everyone around the team seems to be pointing to, and it would make sense for the timeline too. Brad Treliving, the general manager, told us earlier this week a coach would be in place prior to the draft. So unless they decide to leave it till Monday, tomorrow would likely be the day. The Flames depart for Buffalo for the 2016 NHL draft on Tuesday. So the latest they could do the news conference, the latest they could, you know, formally introduce and make the announcement would be Monday. I don't think they're doing it on the weekend, so my guess would be tomorrow, and everybody seems to be pointing to tomorrow being the day. So that's kind of what I'm anticipating. It's kind of what we're anticipating here at the radio station. We're kind of getting ready to scramble down to the Saddle Dome and bring you that news conference live tomorrow. And right now, we all think it's going to be Glenn Gullitson, but again, that hasn't been confirmed. There hasn't really been anything at all. No correspondence from the team as of yet, and that's because there's a process that needs to be undertaken. The Flames aren't, you know, the Flames aren't guarding this like a national secret because they want to necessarily. There's a process that has to be undertaken. So, you know, once a coach decides on what they're doing, you still have to figure out whether or not the, you know, it still has to be signed off by ownership, still has to be signed up by upper management, so on and so forth. So there's a process that needs to be taken before the introduction can be made, and that's what I believe is going on right now, because everybody, insider-wise, is pointing to Glenn Gullitson as the new head coach, and now we just wait for that introduction. So the big question right now, when are the Flames going to introduce their new head coach? Because I think it's that right now is a bigger question than who the next head coach is going to be. That answer, when, I think, is tomorrow. Not a guarantee, but all signs seem to be pointing that way. And then once that's all taken care of, that's one box ticked off the to-do list, and then we can really start to focus in on the draft and free agency. Hey, it's going to get really busy really soon, because the next couple of weeks around the Calgary Flames, around the NHL period, but knowing the Flames have got a coach to hire as well, next couple of weeks here are going to be very, very busy. As we welcome you to Hockey Central at Noon on this Thursday afternoon, Pat Steinberg along with you. We've got a lot to talk about today, including the latest on expansion. Now, Renaud Lavant, our NHL insider, is going to join us at 12:30 this afternoon. How come Las Vegas got the thumbs up, but Quebec City's gotten the, hey, thanks, but no thanks, we're going to wait till another time? We'll delve into that with Renaud Lavant coming up at 12:30. The Carolina Hurricanes today have re-signed Cam Ward to a two-year, $6.6 million contract. So there's one potential goaltender off the market for the Flames, and he was a guy who had been tied to the team. So Cam Ward will stay with the only NHL organization he's ever been a part of. He signs a two-year contract today, and a little bit later on in the program, we'll hear from Jim Rutherford, who happens to be the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he just presided over a Penguins Stanley Cup victory. Jim Rutherford coming your way a little bit later on this hour as well. My name is Pat Steinberg. Hopefully your afternoon is going very, very well. We are just over a week away from the 2016 NHL draft. At this time next week, some of this station, part of our contingent, will be in Buffalo, New York, getting set for round number one. Round one is a week from tomorrow, and then a week from Saturday, the remaining rounds go. And it's a pretty good chance that a week from tomorrow, this man will be having his name called by one of the first 30 teams in the first round of the NHL draft, as we welcome in Calgary Hitmen defenseman Jake Bean, who is getting set for the NHL draft himself. 24 goals, 64 points in 68 games this past season with the Calgary Hitmen. Hello, Jake. How are you today, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. I got to ask you, how exciting is this time of year for you, knowing what's about to happen?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. In some ways, it doesn't really feel real. It's kind of something you're always looking forward to, but obviously it's coming up here in a week, so I'm pretty excited.
What are the emotions? Like, is it just excitement? Is it nerves? I'm kind of curious as to what's going through your head right now.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of everything. there's definitely some nerves when you think about it, but I don't know. In some aspects, it's almost the least amount of emotions are right now, because I can't really do too much to kind of change my stock. So it's almost a relaxing time right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like that limbo period, right? Because you're done the combine, yeah. You're done a lot of the interviews, and now it's kind of in somebody else's hands, right?
Yeah.
Sure. So okay. Let's look back at the scouting combine, because you just got back from that a few weeks ago. Just your overall experience at the NHL scouting combine, how do you look back on that?
Yeah, that was a really cool experience for me. Definitely an opportunity not a lot of people get. You get to meet a lot of really knowledgeable general managers and scouts, and get to meet some of the top players in the world, and you definitely don't get that every day, so it was a cool experience for me, and definitely one I think I learned a lot from.
So tell me about kind of what happens. What is the entire process? Take us through, you know, the scouting combine from a player's perspective who's about to get drafted.
Yeah, you get there on, Sunday or, I think Sunday, and you kind of get settled in your hotel, and then the interviews start on Monday. You have however many interviews you're kind of scheduled for. And basically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you just kind of get to those interviews. And then Friday, there's some interviews as well. And then there's the VO2 bike test. And then Saturday's the fitness testing and the media. And then you're out of there. So
it's pretty, sounds like it's quite the whirlwind. So how is that? How is that testing? Like, how difficult is that testing? How do you look back on that?
Well, I didn't do all of it because of my foot injury. I wasn't cleared to do all the testing, but so I couldn't tell you firsthand. I've obviously done lots of the tests before, so mm-hmm. And talked to the other guys. They're pretty challenging, and they definitely push all the guys to their limits. And it's good. It's fun to watch to see how hard guys some work.
The interview process, though, is the biggest part of it. You talk to general managers and scouts, they say, yeah, the testing's great, but it's all about that interview process and being able to talk to so many guys. So what is the interview process like from the player's perspective, though? Take me through that.
Yeah, I think the first year you're probably a bit nervous, but it's fun. You get to kind of see their opinions on you and learn about their organization and kind of understand maybe the National Hockey League and their organization to a greater extent than you probably ever understood before. So it's definitely a cool experience. So
how many teams did you end up speaking to? Did you speak to all 30 teams?
I talked to 27.
27 of the 30. And are the interviews basically the same, or are they drastically different from team to team?
I would say they're pretty close to the same. There's definitely some differences between the teams. Obviously, some teams are going to like you a bit more than others, and some teams are going to ask you some harder questions, but there was nothing, no kind of ridiculous questions that really stuck out in my mind.
No, nothing ridiculous. Hey, but there were some challenging ones for you?
Yeah, I think teams want to see how you react, and they'll kind of challenge your downfalls and stuff like that and see how you kind of reply to those things. So it was all good, though.
With Jake Bean of the Calgary Hitmen, who is getting set for the 2016 NHL draft, and we're all expecting him to go in round number one a week from tomorrow. So you say they challenge your downfalls or kind of say challenge your quote-unquote weaknesses. So if you were to be asked that question, what are some of the areas that, you know, you're looking to improve on, you know that you need to improve on going forward?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is my strength. I think in some ways that's a good problem, because inevitably with what I've been doing and with just time, everyone's going to grow into their bodies and everyone's going to fill out. And I think if I can add that aspect to my game, it's really going to help me be better in both offensive and defensive situations. So
how, like, you go back to year one in the Western League and when you started with the Calgary Hitmen to now being done two complete years in the league, how much is that improved? How much stronger are you now than when you started?
Definitely a huge difference, I think. Especially in this last year, I've definitely seen my role grow in terms of playing against the other team's top players and being trusted in those key situations when you need to keep a goal out of your net. So I think that's something I've really improved on, and I've done a lot of work with my strength and conditioning coach, Sean Hope Ross, and it's definitely something got a lot better at, and I think there's lots of room to improve as well.
How have you been able to see those gains in strength kind of manifest themselves on the ice? How do they help you personally with when you're in a game?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, I think a little bit is just confidence. If you get a bump and you're not kind of falling over when you have the puck, you can kind of keep possession of the pucks and play against the bigger, stronger guys, and you're not hesitant when you go out there against like Evan Poli or someone big on the other team. It's just another shift, and you can handle kind of whoever is out there against you.
Well, and you make a good point. Like, not only you work with a strength and conditioning coach, you work on that, but you know, a big part of it is you kind of growing and maturing too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
With Jake Bean of the Calgary Hitmen, who joins us here on the program, he is just over a week away from being at the NHL draft, a week from tomorrow, round one of the NHL draft. Tell me about this past season for you, Jake, and kind of how you look back on your second year in the Western League.
Yeah, I thought it was a really positive year for me. Had a lot of opportunity to play with different guys and different lineups, and we had a lot of movement of guys, so it was a unique experience for me. I got to play in a lot of different situations with different D partners and with different forward lines and stuff like that, and it was really good for my development. Obviously, I got to see a lot of different situations and play in lots of key situations, so between the playing aspect and with Trent and Mark and Joel Otto this year, it was awesome, and definitely a great year for my development.
To make the jump from 39 points in your first year to 64 points, that's a pretty big jump, Jake. Is that, how much of that comes down to the way you were used? Like, what were the biggest things that went into such a big jump like that?
I don't know. I think a little bit is I was a year older. I'm a year more of development and stuff like that. I think I played about 20 more games this year than I did the year before.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely helped. I think just a little bit more comfortability playing in a few different situations. I definitely, probably the whole year, I think last, in my 16-year-old year, I got more opportunities kind of near the end of the year, whereas this year, right off the bat, I got some kind of opportunities handed to me, so...
I know talking to Coach Mark French earlier this week, he was talking a lot about how, yeah, the defensive side of your game has really taken some steps forward. How noticeable has that side of the game been for you, though, in terms of improvement?
Yeah, I think it's been a little bit noticeable. I think for me, I've always felt pretty comfortable out there defensively. I think, like, with my strength aspect, that's really helped me feel more confident against the top players. And I think I mostly notice it when I get put out against the other team's top line and have to play on the penalty kill and stuff like that. And, it's something I work on and something I'm going to continue to develop. So,
in terms, like, how much do you relish that opportunity? You talk to some guys and they just love going up against the top players on the other side. How much do you relish that opportunity?
Yeah, you know, I don't think before I played in the WHL I really understood how big of an opportunity that was. In my 16-year-old year, I didn't really get that chance early on, and I think that's something you kind of miss. So it's kind of one of those things you don't know until you lose it. So I definitely was really grateful this year to have that opportunity. We got to play against teams like Red Deer, who have four lines deep, so it's not that hard to get out against one of their top lines. So definitely a cool experience.
With Jake Bean of the Calgary Hitmen, just a couple more for you, Jake, because I know you got to get to work and you've got training to do today. But you go back to the combine, you go back to some of the interviews. You don't have to tell me who, but do you have a pretty good idea as to what teams are honing in on you? Do you have a pretty good idea as to where you might end up being selected?
Yeah, I think so. That being said, I have no idea. Like, I think I've talked to some teams, and there's definitely teams that have interested me, some more than others, and some teams like my games more than others, and some teams kind of align with my values more than others. But
right.
I think, so obviously I think I have an understanding, but I also know that in a week's time, so much can happen, and there's so much, like I said, so much can happen. So I think I have somewhat of an understanding, but I also have an understanding that I really don't know that well. So.
Yeah. So when you kind of you get the feeling as to what teams are you know, kind of honing in on you more or like you more, like, do they tell you that, or is that just something that you kind of glean from the interview process?
Yeah, I think they tell me, like, they tell me that they like my game, and a lot of teams tell me that they like my game, and but I think the difference between kind of the teams that really like my game and teams that say they like my game but don't love it, there's a bit difference. You can just tell they maybe they'd be a little bit more nicer to you. They kind of like all aspects of your game and right. understand where you need to develop, but don't think it's a big problem and stuff like that. So it's interesting. So
how just and final question on the process, just how valuable is this process, just not even for hockey going forward, but going through this whole thing, how valuable is it just for the next 10, 20 years of your life, knowing that a pretty pressure-packed situation and you went up against it and were able to come out of it feeling pretty good?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, like not every 18-year-old's going to get this opportunity in their lifetime. Definitely not every person. So
yeah.
Whether it's for hockey or in the workforce or wherever you are, I think it's a pretty cool experience that I think I've definitely grown stronger from.
So Jake, when do you leave? When do you take off for Buffalo?
I think next Wednesday, the 22nd.
And who's coming with you?
My family, my mom, dad, my sister, and my girlfriend are coming.
Sounds like it'll be a pretty whirlwind time for you. We'll see you out there in Buffalo, Jake. Appreciate the time today. Thanks so much for spending it with us. Enjoy your training today, but looking forward to seeing where you end up get picked on Friday. Yeah, thanks so much for the time today.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good one.
You as well. Jake Bean of the Calgary Hitmen joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. And the expectation, I mean, it would be a shock if we're not hearing his name called a week from tomorrow. He's one of the best defensemen in this year's draft class. He's coming off a great year and he's a pretty well-spoken guy. That's the third or fourth time I've had the opportunity to interview him. I always look forward to it. He's a really well-spoken guy. And I would imagine that, you know, he was one of the players who, because you hear from general managers and you hear from scouts that, you know, sometimes that interview process can raise a player's stock or drop a player's stock depending on how they do and how they react to certain questions and how, you know, just how prepared they are and that type of stuff. You can learn things about a player from the interview process too, as opposed to, you know, what you're seeing on the ice or what happens in testing. And I would imagine that if there's a player that would fall in the group of being able to raise their stock through that interview process, I would imagine that Jake Bean would be one of those guys, because he is such a well-spoken young man. So 18 years old, we know his dad, of course, John Bean of the Calgary Flames, and Jake Bean will be joining a National Hockey League organization in just over a week's time. By the way, Jake joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Delight in a flame-grilled burger and choose from over 30 gourmet toppings. Satisfy your cravings with South Street Burger. Better burgers, fries, and shakes. Pat Steinberg along with you as we continue on Hockey Central at noon this afternoon. And by the way, we are heading to the draft. Our coverage starts a week from today. We will be in Buffalo, and basically goes like this. If this is kind of the way it works in a draft, the Wednesday is usually when a lot of the media get in. There's not a whole lot going on the Wednesday. Thursday is probably the busiest day in terms of running around. So we'll probably be getting one-on-ones and scrums and stuff with Brad Treleving and Craig Conroy and Todd Button. And that'll be happening on the Thursday. The prospects luncheon is on the Thursday as well, so that's when you'll hear from a lot of the top prospects. Of course, Friday, not a whole lot goes on the day of Friday until the draft starts. The draft starts at 5 o'clock Calgary time. We'll have full coverage for you as the Sportsnet Radio Network will have coverage across the country, and then we'll jump in locally after the first round is done, and then Saturday full coverage on the program as well. The Flames have got, as it stands right now, the Flames have got 4 picks in the top 60. Perhaps they make that more. Who knows? There is a lot of people talking about the prospect of the Flames moving up in the draft. I know that there's talk that maybe Columbus would be willing to deal number 3 overall. I don't think from everybody that I've spoken to and from everything that you've heard, the price to move up to number 3 is going to be pretty prohibitive. I don't know if I see a team moving up to number 3. It'd be a bit of a surprise. What I could see is Calgary moving down slightly and maybe getting themselves another pick. And if they could have even more picks in the top 60, that just adds to their kind of bank account when it comes to trying to do something else. So I do think the Flames will be busy. I do think we'll be talking about at least one deal made by the Flames, whether it's just a simple draft pick move or a bigger move like what we saw last year with Dougie Hamilton. And I do think we'll see something on the Flames side of things once we get there on the Friday and the Saturday. Labardius, Wills, and I live on location at the 2015 20, 2016 NHL Draft. Our coverage brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, Shane Holmes, Calgary Lock and Safe, and Varsity Chrysler. June's kickoff to savings is on now with 0% financing on all 2016 models. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops. Lots to get to as we continue on the program today. How come Quebec has to wait for expansion, but Las Vegas doesn't? Our NHL insider, Renaud Lavoie, fills us in on that next. This is Hockey Central at Noon, brought to you by Boston Pizza, here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Team 7 wins, Team 7 losses, coach hirings, coach firings. It's always important to you. It's always important to us. Calgary's only all-sports radio, Sportsnet 960. This is Hockey Central at Noon with Pat Steinberg on your home of the Flames and the NHL, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Our NHL insider, Renaud Lavoie, just covered four consecutive rounds of the NHL postseason, and he might be busier now than he was during those four rounds. That's how busy it is around the NHL as we move up to the NHL draft and free agency in a couple of weeks. Welcome back to Hockey Central at Noon. My name is Pat Steinberg, and Ren joins us now, our NHL insider from TVA Sports. Renaud, salut, and let's start with expansion, because that is one of the big stories right now. The Associated Press reported earlier this week that Las Vegas will be getting an expansion team. However, Quebec City is going to have to continue to wait. What's the latest? Anything more that you're hearing to that story right now?
Not at all. To be honest with you, what everybody's waiting for is not the announcement of Vegas that will occur, as you know, next week in Las Vegas on the 22nd. I think it's not a surprise for anybody that it's a done deal. But everybody's waiting for what the league's going to say about Quebec City, their bid, and why it didn't work out. And is there any chance for Quebec to be one day back in the NHL? So that I think that's what people are really waiting for. My understanding is the NHL is not going to close the door to Quebec City, but they're not going to agree, obviously, to an expansion right now. It's going to be really interesting to see how the league is going to manage that case, because, as you know, there's a lot of people in Quebec that really likes hockey. In Quebec City, there's a lot of people who loves the game. Obviously, they're watching a lot of hockey on TVA Sports every year. Yes, there are a lot of those people who are Montreal Canes fans or fans of the Boston Bruins or sometimes the Ottawa Senators. But at the end of the day, if they have a team back in Quebec City, they'll be behind that team. So I think the league needs to be really careful with what they're going to say about the market in Quebec City.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people are saying that it's a small market. Well, if Quebec City is a small market, can we talk about Winnipeg? Can we talk about Columbus, Nashville? I mean, there's a lot of cities that I can go, and the list is really long. Raleigh in North Carolina, the list is really long of small market in the NHL. And so I just hope that they're going to find the right words, because it could backlash on them at one point, and hopefully that's not going to happen.
And Ren, you've been really close to the Quebecor bid, and I know that you've been following along now for a number of years on this. Like, they've done their due diligence. They've paid the non-refundable fees, all that type of stuff. So yeah. Why do you think the NHL is deciding to delay or not to go there? Is it just because of the Canadian dollar?
Well, and you have to ask Quebecor at the same time, and I think they're going to respond to that next week officially. You have to ask them, were you really ready to pay a fee of $500 million to go back in the league with a Canadian dollar, as you know, who's 30% lower than the American dollar.
Right, and that's kind of the big question right now is whether or not they are able.
In reality, it cost them $600 to $670 million in Canadian currency. It's a lot of money. It's way too much money, to be honest with you. It's not what it's worth. I think it's way overvalued. And I'm pretty sure that if it was $500 million Canadian, it will be more realistic for a reality for Quebecor to make a check of that amount. So it's not an easy decision for the league. It's not an easy decision for Quebecor, obviously. But I really think that we'll have all the answer to our questions next week on the 22nd. And I'm pretty sure that as of right now, Quebec coming back in the league is not a perfect fit for the league, and it's not a perfect fit for Quebecor.
It's funny you talk about the actual price, the expansion fee of $500 million. And it's amazing to me. The last time we had expansion in the NHL was in 2000, so 16 years ago when Minnesota and Columbus came into the league. And the expansion fees they paid were $80 million, and now it's $500 million. That is a massive jump.
It is a massive jump. I mean, if you talk to a lot of people in the know, they're going to say it's way overvalued. But at the moment that there's one or two people who are ready to put the money on the table, obviously it's not overvalued until somebody's ready to pay the price, right? It's the same thing with the level of tickets price at everywhere around the league, in Calgary or Montreal. I mean, I know there's a rate hike in Montreal too, even if they didn't make the playoffs for tickets. And there's, I'm pretty sure people are ready to pay a premium to have season tickets, and others that, you know, they're not ready to pay anymore. What's the asking price? Let's say that if the league was putting an expansion at $300 million, maybe, and probably there would have been more people going up front and asking for a franchise. You don't know what in Houston what they would have done. I mean, it's an heavy price. I don't think there's a lot of people who are ready to pay that premium to have an NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Foley in Las Vegas is ready to do so. I just hope that we won't see another crisis like we saw in 08 and 09, where, I mean, we saw the a big recession in North America. And the first place that's really touched by a recession, it's Las Vegas. In North America, and there's a lot of people losing their jobs when there's a recession in Vegas because there's not a lot of people going in the city to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the case right now. Things are going well, but as you know, it could change quickly. And I wonder about, you know, having Las Vegas as a market. I think it's Mr. Foley is a guy who's ready to lose money, to be honest with you. And so I guess it's a good thing for him. It's going to be a new toy. But at the end of the day, I don't expect Las Vegas to make a lot of money.
And final question on expansion, and it kind of just an expansion of that conversation we just had there and that answer you just gave. So is Las Vegas, from the research you've done, from kind of who you've spoken to, like, does it seem like a long-term viable option for the NHL? Can this work for a long time in Vegas?
Well, I'm not even sure that they think that it's going to work to start, because I think their loss, I think the agreement with the NHLPA is this. If they're losing money in the first 4 years, it's not going to count under the player's fund, meaning that it's not all that money will be paid if you look at it in by the owners, and not with the escrow that the players are playing for the first 4 years. Yes, there's a lot of casinos in Vegas. It's a great place, I guess, when things are going well. But when you know, the tourists are not coming in Vegas because they don't have the money to go there. Don't tell me that all the casinos will spend millions of money to make sure that they'll have tickets to go and see games at the MGM Arena. It's a gamble. There's not another way to put it. I know it's easy to say, it's laughable in a way, but it's a big gamble by the NHL. And again, I'm really not convinced that it's going to work.
Renaud Lavoie is with us. He's our NHL insider from TVA Sports. He joins us Mondays and Thursdays here on Hockey Central at noon. So that's the expansion conversation, Ren. The actual hockey conversation, there's been lots to sink our teeth into over the last couple of days. First of all, Carolina's been a busy little team. Ron Francis has been busy. He, first of all, acquired Brian Bickle and Toivo Teravainen from Chicago yesterday. And in the end, it's that Bickle contract that really ends up hurting the Blackhawks, isn't it?
Oh, totally. It's one of the worst contracts that was given in the NHL in the last few years. And that was handcuffing, obviously, the Blackhawks. And that's why they had to get rid of him to make sure that they're going to keep a player like Andrew Shaw. The Blackhawks are paying a premium on every player that could get his free agency at one point, and it's costing them a lot of money, and obviously they're losing a lot of good young players because of that. Same thing is going to happen in Tampa soon enough. There's too much good players to sign. And they'll face the same issues, I'll say. It's a good thing that the Blackhawks were able to win Stanley Cups. If not, I think there'll be a lot of people pointing fingers to Stan Bowman and say, you know what, he made some bad decisions. He's got 3 Stanley Cups rings now, so we're not going to say that he's not doing a good job. He's doing a great job. But at the same time, it must be really tough for him to see the list of players that he had to trade in the last few years and get not much in return just because of a bad decision that he made, with some of their contract that they signed in the last few years. So, I mean, they're getting handcuffed. The gamble was easy. They really thought that the salary cap will go to $80 million by today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the case. It's going to be around $72, $73 million next season, if not flat. So, I don't expect the cap to go to $80 million soon. And that's a big, big, big problem for a lot of franchises in the NHL. And I mean, I think that the Chicago is hurting because of that right now.
And Carolina acquires a pretty good player in Teravainen, and they got to take on the Bickle contract, but they've been busy. So they bring in those two players and then re-sign Cam Ward today to a 2-year, $6.6 million contract. How surprised were you to see Cam Ward re-sign there?
Well, a little surprised, to be honest with you. My understanding of the situation is crystal clear, and it's a little bit what Calgary went through in the last few days, is I think those two teams were really interested in Marc-Andre Fleury. But when they realized that the Penguins are not ready to trade Marc-Andre Fleury, they had to make a move. And that's the move. I think they could have signed easily Cam Ward at the end of the season if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
They waited for something to happen. They wait for Marc-Andre Fleury to be available, and he's not available. It's crystal clear. So that's why the Flames had to sign Cam Ward quickly. He wants to stay in Carolina. It's not a surprise to see him back, to be honest with you, because that's really what he wanted. When I talked to him during the season, that being said, now I'm more and more interested to see what's going to happen in Calgary goaltending wise. They need to make a move. They need to make sure that they have good goaltending next year, because if they don't, whoever's going to be the coach, it's not going to change anything. If you don't have goaltending in this league, you're done. It's impossible to win. And whoever you have behind the bench or on the bench, it's not going to change anything. You need goaltending.
And you've heard kind of the same thing that most have heard, hey, that it's probably going to be Glenn Gullitson introduced?
Yeah, exactly. That's my expectation. I mean, he knows the Calgary Flames organization because he worked for them in the early 2000s. He was the head coach in Las Vegas for, their farm team there in the East Coast League. So I think he knows the organization pretty well. And I think it's a good move. I mean, what the players in Calgary wants a little more is a player's coach. They're going to get one. We'll see how it's going to turn out. But at the end of the day, I'm going to repeat myself, but you can't put God behind the bench.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have a goaltender, it's not going to help. So the pressure is really on Brad Treliving right now to find goaltending, and really good goaltending. It's not easy to find. If he really wants to get one, he'll probably needs to pay a premium. And if I was him, obviously I'll call every day in Tampa to make sure that Ben Bishop is available at one point. If Ben Bishop is available, I'm pretty sure that he's ready to pay a premium to get a goaltender like him, because automatically the Calgary Flames will make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. With a guy like that, I think that most people would be on that same wavelength. Ren, as always, appreciate this, my friend. Good stuff. And are you heading to the NHL draft next week?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there on Sunday to make sure everything's perfect.
You're going to be there really early. All right, well, we will see you there. I'll make sure to seek you out and shake your hand, because it's been great working with you. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday, but for sure we'll see you in Buffalo next week.
Thank you very much, Pat.
You have yourself a great day. Renaud Lavoie is our NHL insider from TVA Sports. He joins us Mondays and Thursdays here on Hockey Central at noon. So expansion, Cam Ward, Glenn Gulletson, and more covered there. Interesting how Ren reads the Cam Ward re-signing. From his understanding, Marc-Andre Fleury has kind of been, the Penguins have told people that no, right now he's not available. So, if you want to, sure, take your chances, maybe he will be. But if you're the Hurricanes, if you were looking and hoping for Marc-Andre Fleury to be available, the Penguins have said no right now. So they went down the road and brought back Cam Ward on a 2-year, $6.6 million contract today. That has been confirmed. What has not been confirmed is what the Flames are going to do in between the pipes, or what the Flames are going to do behind the bench, although we're all fairly certain it's going to be Glenn Gulletson, and we're just waiting now for confirmation from the team and an official announcement from the Flames. Ren echoes the kind of feel that, Rob's been talking about all summer long, or all offseason long. Rob's feel is coaching hire is big, but the biggest thing is still a goaltender, and you heard it right there from Ren. It's kind of his same feel as well. By the way, we will be live on the NHL draft floor starting a week from today, live from Buffalo, New York. Our coverage brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. They're moving to a new location, which means a massive inventory clear out. Save 30 to 70% on Inca safes. Visit Calgary Lock and Safe for more. Well, he's the man who put the finishing touches on Pittsburgh's Stanley Cup winning team, and he is around the corner as we continue on Hockey Central at noon, brought to you by Boston Pizza, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon continues only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
With so much that's happened since the Pittsburgh Penguins have won the Stanley Cup, it feels like it happened ages ago, and yet it was only like 4 days ago the Penguins were raising the Stanley Cup. The Pittsburgh Penguins, 2016 Stanley Cup champions, and the man that was... It's funny. How do you look at Jim Rutherford? The general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins comes in. He's made some big moves. He brought in Phil Kessel. He brought in Nick Bonino. He made some pretty darn big moves. And do you look at him as the architect? Did he just put the finishing touches on this group? It's because, Rutherford wasn't there, obviously, for Crosby and Malkin and Letang and guys like that. Or Matt Murray, he wasn't drafted there, but he did make the decision to fire Mike Johnson and bring in Mike Sullivan. He did make the decision to acquire Phil Kessel and Nick Bonino and players like that. It's been a very interesting year for Jim Rutherford, and I think that, maybe some luck involved, sure, but I still think you got to give the man some credit, because he's now presided over two Stanley Cup winners, and this one, the moves that he made, the decisions that he made, ended up being pretty darn important. He joined Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean on Hockey Central on Sportsnet West today. The general manager of the Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins, here's Jim Rutherford.
Different than with Carolina. More star players, more expectations with Pittsburgh. But this roster that you won with, I don't think you won it in the way that you expected to. Sid and Phil Kessel not on the same line, or Malkin and Kessel not in the same line. The blue line was different, and Matt Murray certainly wasn't probably in your expectations. So take me through this roster that you eventually won the Stanley Cup with.
Well, I think the roster, in some ways, other than the superstars we have, was made up similar to the team I had in Carolina, where we had balance throughout four lines. The coach could roll four lines. Other than Chris Letang anchoring our defense, you know, some people call it a no-name defense, which I think is a little bit unfair, but we all understand what they're trying to say. But we had a very solid, well-balanced defense, guys who could play their roles properly. And then in Matt Murray's case, I mean, we had planned on making him part of our team at the trade deadline. That was a plan coming right out of training camp. Probably didn't expect him to be playing as much as he did. The Fleury injury opened the door. I wasn't nervous at the time because I saw it before. I saw it with Cam Ward. So there's some similarities to those teams, although, as you pointed out, the core of the Penguins was a stronger core than I had in Carolina.
Jimmy, when the first week or two you took over the franchise, and not many people have talked about it, but you were extremely up against it cap-wise. And you had some challenging decisions to make right out of the box with respect to a couple of veteran defensemen and some other players on the team.
Yeah, and that was all laid out for me by ownership when prior to me taking the job. Kind of laid out how they felt, where the team was at and what the team needed. And so, tough decisions had to be made. I mean, when you look from the time that I started with this team, we lost some very good defensemen, Paul yeah. Martin, Orpik, and Niskanen. Yeah. And that defense really had to be rebuilt, totally rebuilt, and it was all for cap reasons. And we tried to change the makeup of our team, a little different type players with the James Neal trade. I mean, James Neal is a very good player, a very good goal scorer, but we were looking for a little bit different type of player in Hornquist. And when you look back on it now and you look at those different players that were at it, the character players that were at it, they made a difference in getting us to the championship.
Jimmy, to say you guys got off to a bad start would be the understatement of the year, I think. But the changes that you had to make, and particularly when you made them, if I was to say, and I don't want to say a younger Jimmy Rutherford, but maybe even a less experienced one, do you think you would have been more patient, or you just felt at that time, no matter what, that this team has to win now, therefore we have to make these changes now?
Yeah, I don't think it would have mattered where I was in my career. I think it was obvious coming out of training camp, our team was slow. You know, and just weren't playing as high a level as we should have been. And so it became obvious that some changes had to be made. And we're fortunate that Daly didn't work in Chicago. He worked well in Pittsburgh. Hagelin, we were hoping we were getting the guy that played for the Rangers, not Anaheim. And we did get the guy that played for the Rangers. And then because of a lot of injuries, we were able to bring five young guys up at the same time. And that's the biggest lesson I learned this year, as long as I've been in this position, is bringing one guy up at a time is difficult because they get to practice and play with the team, but then they're left on their own at night. They're by themselves. They're in a hotel room and going out to eat by themselves. But in this case, we brought five young guys up at the same time. They had already played with the coach in the early part of the year, which gave them confidence. And they were able to hang out together, and they had each other's back, and they had fun when they were away from the rink. And I think that made a very, very big difference.
Jimmy, we looked at the team at the start of the year, and it was god-awful how they couldn't get the puck out of their own zone and get the play going through the neutral zone. You said they looked slow, but then you look at the playoffs, and every team, starting with the Rangers through Washington, through Tampa, was, we're going to get to this blue line. Our forechecking is going to overcome this relatively unknown blue line, with the exception of Letang, Daly, although people like Mata, and they liked Dumoulin at the end, but they couldn't get to them. And I thought San Jose would get to them, but not one of those teams could forecheck that blue line. Sullivan gets credit. The players get credit. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, the coach gets a lot of credit because he changed the way we played. He got the forwards back there quicker, and the forwards and the defense were going at the same time. Our transition game became so much better.
Yeah, not close.
But certainly with the addition, now Daly didn't play in the finals, but he played in those other series. But his speed, Dumoulin became a better player as the season came along. I think the pairings were important on the blue line, where they had good chemistry, and our guys were getting back and getting the puck first, but some of that was because the forwards were helping out with it.
Jimmy Rutherford with us, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Hockey Central at noon with Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. I'm going to give you some names. They're either went through bounce back seasons, establishing themselves, or proving themselves. Daly, Murray, Kessel, Lovejoy. What name there stands out that you feel really extra special about?
Well, Matt Murray. I mean, you know, a lot of people outside the hockey world didn't know a whole lot about him. And he comes in, you know, he hadn't even played a full season. We knew about him. We knew he was good. But, you know, he was a difference maker in a lot of games in the playoffs. We all know the story about Phil Kessel with Toronto. It can be debated whether he was fairly treated or unfairly treated. But the fact of the matter is he was a good fit here. When he first came into Pittsburgh, he fit into our room. Everybody really liked him right from the start. I think he had to get rid of a little bit of the emotion in the first half of the season to leave at Toronto because he loved Toronto. He didn't want to leave. And then once it got to the point where he got on that Bonino Hagelin line, they just had good chemistry. They liked each other. And when Malkin got hurt, Kessel was a difference maker for us down the stretch. He had some big games for us. And the only team that knew they were in the playoffs March 1st was Washington. I mean, it was a fight to the finish. And Kessel was a good player down the stretch and in the playoffs. And Lovejoy was a guy that we thought we were getting when we made that trade, traded a young defenseman for him. Experienced, solid, veteran defenseman, right shot. He came through for us. And what was the other name you mentioned, Hagelin?
Rust as well.
Oh, Rust. Well, he's a good young player. We knew he was going to be part of our team at some point. It's just as he got the opportunity, and he's got great foot speed. He used speed a lot.
Jimmy, just to go back to Matt Murray, with the expansion draft looming and the ability to only protect one goalie, was this enough for you to say that we got to go with the younger guy, and Marc-Andre Fleury's been great, but you know, eventually it's time to move on?
Well, we haven't made that decision yet. I mean, we're trying to get away from partying here and actually get down to business and have meetings related to your question. I know that we have two very, very good goalies, one experienced veteran and one young goalie. And we may very well have to make a decision here. But in an ideal world, I'd like to start the season with both of them, but we'll see how it plays out here.
Jimmy, you know, you win the Stanley Cup, but it was a tough year and a half for you, I suspect, personally. As a matter of fact, I talked to some GMs that thought you were really, really getting frustrated and were grinding it out really hard. How does it feel after what you've gone through the 2 years to have it end this way? Because it was a tough job.
It wasn't as hard as you've pointed out. Some people tried to make it hard for me, but I don't listen to what people are saying out there or read the newspaper. So I guess that probably makes it a little bit easier for me. But there were frustrating times where I felt that our team should have been better. But that's part of this job. I mean, for the most part, for GMs, there's always times where it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. But I always believed in this team, even in the early going when we were not winning games and not playing the way we should, I still believe that we had a chance and to win at the end. And as it turned out, making a few changes, it gave us a better chance to do it.
Jimmy, we can't let you go without mentioning or bringing up Sid Crosby. He had the worst start of his career, and for me, it wasn't just the fact that he wasn't even sitting in the top 30 of scoring, but he just did not look himself. And we can sit there and say he didn't score a goal, you know, in the stretch, in the final, and yet you said he's the best player in the world out there. We can look at the coaching change. We can look at the lineup being tweaked. But I can tell you he just didn't look engaged like he did in the back half of the season. I mean, what did you see in the first half, and what did you see in the second half, and where would you attribute the change?
Well, from Christmas time on is when he shifted a gear and took his game to another level. I don't agree with people that say that he wasn't as good in the first half. He gets judged by his points, and maybe he can say he wasn't engaged in certain games, but he was working on his overall game, and he was playing in all zones. He was playing a two-way game, wasn't getting his points, but he was certainly working at it. And I wasn't upset with him or frustrated with him, because I knew it was just a matter of time before it came. But as the season went along from Christmas time on, his points started to come more. But especially in the playoffs, I mean, when we got to games where we really needed those games, he was clearly the best player, as he is, as we all know him to be the best player in the game. And he deserved the Conn Smythe. He played terrific for us.
When's the next party?
I think in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. has it visited the golf course yet?
The guys had their physicals this morning, and they took a bus out to the Open.
Awesome.
And so they're all out at the U.S. Open with the cup.
Oh, my gosh.
That is outstanding. We're really happy for you.
Congratulations, Jim.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Jim Rutherford, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, joining the guys on Hockey Central on Sportsnet Television, Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. Pretty outstanding job done by Jim Rutherford. I know a lot of people were questioning, hey, myself included, questioning what went down prior to the season, question the Phil Kessel deal. A lot of people who were scratching their heads on some of those moves. Well, a lot of those moves paid off, and the Penguins are 2016 Stanley Cup champions. That'll do it for Hockey Central at Noon, brought to you by Boston Pizza. I want to thank Renaud Lavoie, our NHL insider from TVA Sports, and Calgary Hitmen defenseman Jake Bean for joining us on the program today. We're anticipating tomorrow's show being all about the new head coach of the Calgary Flames, but we're not exactly sure, but that's what we're anticipating tomorrow. Join us anyway, regardless, tomorrow, as we'll wrap up the week with Hockey Central at Noon. The big show kicks off in about 60 seconds here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.